Welcome back. Thank you for listening to the second LEAP interview. I'm really excited to continue this inspirational interview series showcasing women who aren't afraid to chase their dreams. And today I have a very special woman who's a friend and also a former colleague of mine, Vicki Flaherty. Vicki is with IBM Learning, and we met about 7 or 8 years ago now on an IBM project. And I distinctly remember, Vicki, for the first time that we met, and I think we were in the IBM Danbury office for a meeting. It was either Danbury or Summers. I am mixing up those IBM office buildings in that part of the country. But I remember just how you showed up and the energy that you brought into the room and just into meeting me and our first conversation. I thought to myself, wow, this is really like an amazing person, and I'm so excited to work with this lady and to team up and collaborate on this particular project that we are working on. And of course, since then, Vicki and I have stayed in touch even beyond the IBM realm. Vicki still works for IBM, but I left and started my coaching practice, and Vicki was actually one of my first clients. So I had the opportunity to collaborate with Vicki again, but in a really different way. She was absolutely one of my favorite clients to work with, I have to say now. I have really great clients, so everyone's amazing. But what I loved about working with you, Vicki, is just how deep we would go and how you were, you know, really willing to look deeply and peel back the layers of the onion and explore a lot of new territories, new horizons, new discoveries. And so that was one of the reasons why I just adored our coaching sessions. So I'm thrilled that Vicki's here today to share her story. She's leapt not once, but many, many, many times over her lifetime. And we're going to talk about a particular leap that she made a few years back that I think, you know, for me as an outsider, as her friend, was particularly inspiring and was really a transition point in her life. So I'm happy to introduce Vicki Flaherty. Over to you.
Great. Thank you, Christina. It's really great to be here with you. And I do remember that first project, and it does seem like a lifetime ago since we met in a very good way. And I also have very keen memories of our coaching sessions together and how powerful that was for me as well. And we'll probably reflect a little bit more on that as we go through the interview today. As you said, I'm an IBMer. I'm thrilled to be working in our leadership development organization. And, you know, when I think about who I am, at least in terms of at the office, I think of myself as a people person. So when I about 20 years ago, I worked for a small startup company in workforce development, and I was awarded this corporate award. It was the first time they were offering it, and it was called Helping People Succeed. And I didn't realize it then, but that was the sign on the path of my career, is helping people succeed. And as I think about that, I think, wow, I think that this path was carved a long time ago, because I have memories of being a girl in elementary school and loving to teach and playing school. So being a teacher and leading people and doing things. And I have another really fond memory of when I was a teenager, and my best friend and I would sit on the bed and we'd talk, and she just said, oh, someday you're going to be a psychiatrist. And I'm not a psychiatrist, but I am a psychologist. So somewhere there was truth along the way. I'm a people person, and I am surprised to find myself working in the middle of the cornfields of Iowa. I'm not surprised that I'm here, because this is the heartland of the United States, and the heart will play into our interview today, I think. I'm living this abundantly delicious life with my husband, Jim, and I have made some amazing friends at IBM and outside of IBM. I just fill my life with things beyond work that enrich my work, including my friends and the other kinds of things that keep me energized and fuel me up include yoga, gardening, running, writing, and traveling. So that's just a little bit of background about me, Christina.
Thank you. Thank you. I have to say, I always think about what your husband Jim calls your yoga friends.
Yeah, I have this group there are five of us that get together once a month, and we have like a potluck dinner, and the group was organized around spending time focusing on each of the seven chakras. I did that the first year. We had a book and we would go through those, and 8 years later the book stays on the shelf and we just get together and our friends together. But chakra group would just seem too much for my husband, and he calls us the chocolate chips, and it is kind of funny, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know why that is always stuck in my head. So whenever I think about you and you maybe post something about yoga, I think about you and your chakra, a.k.a. chocolate chip friends. Hopefully there's some chocolate eating going on in those meetings.
Oh, absolutely. Somebody always brings dessert and something sweet.
Well, thanks for that bit of background. Would you mind sharing a little bit more about where you're at right now, what kind of role you're in, and what you're doing at IBM?
Yeah, so as I said, I'm in leadership development, and IBM is an amazing place in that I've been there for 17 years, and I never imagined that I would be there for that long, but I've had three or four careers in that, three or four different steps along a career there. Like you, Christina, I was in our services organization doing consulting work to start, and then I switched and was doing career development work, creating career pathways and various career development tools and programs. And then I moved into our learning organization and was leading some programs there and have shifted into leading programs around leadership development. So my latest responsibility is around new executives and supporting our new executives and making that transition from non-executive to executive, which is a pretty big leap in our company. And so I'm just honored to be able to engage with our leaders and help them grow in that way. And one of the initiatives that I'm leading now is around mindfulness and bringing mindfulness and focus to the work that we do and helping our leaders to do that. So I'm just really excited about where I found myself in my career and really truly amazed at the kinds of opportunities that I have.
Yeah, it's so exciting, and I'm so glad you used the word leap when you were talking about, you know, the new executives and the leap that they're taking in their careers. I just had a visualization really of you being like the perfect leaping partner for them, because you've made so many leaps in your life, and you're such a great coach, and just to be, you know, part of their support system as they make this big leap, it's really incredible. And I'm thrilled to hear that you're, you know, introducing and instilling the importance of mindfulness and trying to create a mindful culture at IBM. Sounds pretty awesome. So
yeah,
back to leaping.
Yeah, you just
created
this vision in my mind of me and a bunch of executives sort of leaping through the air together, sort of in a yoga kind of a pose, pulling toward the future. So I really love the visual that you conjured up in my mind as you shared that.
Yeah, it was pretty distinctive. And I think that's a great segue, though, into talking about a particularly significant leap that you made in both your professional and personal life a few years back. So how about you tell us a little bit more about what was going on with you and what prompted the leap that you made?
Yeah, so I was... When I was in IBM, I was in a job that it didn't really seem like the right job on my career path. I was looking toward a job in leadership development, which I have managed to find. That job, though, seemed like a detour to me. And it so happens that while I was in that job, I found my way out of the job in part because in July of 2011, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I took some time off to undergo treatment and just to be with that experience. And during the time that I was away, my job changed and the opportunities that were there for me when I came back were somewhat different. But the leap is really not at all about work. I think the leap is really more about the opportunity that cancer provided for me to really tune into what was happening in my life. In 2005 or so, I had gone through a workshop that awakened me. The workshop was about being a stronger leader, and it was a very powerful transformative experience. And I can remember in that class, you're asked to identify what you want to take away from the 2 days, and I wanted to find my joy. Well, I didn't even know I had lost my joy. But the point is this workshop began this awakening process, and I started dabbling with poetry and words, and something was happening there. And Christina, I think that workshop is part of why you saw the Vicki Flaherty that you saw when you met me, because I had been through this experience fairly recently. And I think it was an important impetus to, when I was diagnosed, my really seizing the opportunity to turn inward and to really slow down and see what was happening. I spent my life, I'm very achievement-oriented. I have no doubt where I get that from, because my father is like the Energizer Bunny, and he's got a project here, a project there, and he's always moving. And my husband says, you're just like your father right now, and I realize what he's saying, and I try to slow down. But I didn't always really slow down enough to celebrate what I was accomplishing, or slow down enough to really tune in to what I was feeling during those experiences. And so with cancer, a lot of things were happening. There are a lot of emotions that I'd never even experienced before that I made the time and had the time to really digest them. And so my leap was really around taking that opportunity to look inside. And when I did that, I found myself needing an outlet to understand what was happening. And I can remember sitting at the dining room table looking outside and not knowing at all how I felt, and just sitting there feeling kind of empty. At the same time, though, feeling very full. There was a lot of stuff in there that just needed to go somewhere. And I sat down with a piece of paper and a pen, and I just started writing some words that sort of described what I was thinking or feeling or what had just happened. And at some point, after a couple days of just sitting there with a few words, the words started turning into phrases, and the phrases started connecting together, and all of a sudden, you know, it was like a river was flowing of words and emotions onto a piece of paper, and it was incredibly cathartic. So my leap was really wrapped around processing emotions and using poetry as an outlet to really cope and experience what was happening.
Wow. And how did you cope with, you know, fears or worries about your health as they came up?
Yeah, so you know, Christina, that, you know, I've been a runner since I was 13, and I'm very, very much focused on health, and had taken up yoga a few years before. And It was incredibly scary, and the poetry was part of what helped me process what was happening, and to lean into the fear that I had. I'll just say for myself, so much of who I am was tied up in physically who I am and what I look like, and I've took a lot of pride in how I looked and what I wore and taking care of myself, and to find myself at a point where I was physically going to have to change my body in a very personal way, that took some real processing and coping, and the poetry really helped me move through that. So while at the same time it was really challenging to the experience was very challenging, the physical, the need to move past this and to be healthy again was a really strong urge. So I, after my surgery, I found myself setting goals in terms of I want to be lifting weights again by the beginning of the year, and I want to be running again by this point in time. And I didn't realize how important physical fitness was and being healthy was until that was threatened. And so it gave me a focus. My health was definitely a focus that helped pull me through this. I was very motivated to return to the person that I was before. And it's kind of deceptive because I realize now that there's no going back, and I've actually become somebody different than I was before, and in a very good way, I think.
And how did your writing help you discover the new you?
I think what my poetry did was it really helped me get comfortable with putting my heart out there and with being okay with being vulnerable. So there were things that I would write about that I wasn't really comfortable with. And there were parts of me that I showed that were pretty intimate. And it took some courage to actually share that, but I found such power and reassurance and comfort by sharing with other people, other women that have read what I've written. It opens something up for them and brings comfort and hope to them. So I had no idea when I was expressing these emotions for myself that it would actually help someone else. I was doing it purely to help myself, and in the end, it turned out to help other women as well, and that's been really comforting to me. Mm-hmm. And I realize now I don't think I answered your question, Christina.
That's okay. You know, I was just thinking back to what you said a few minutes ago about the initial leap really being that leap in taking time for yourself and making space for yourself. You did that by taking some time off of work and then really just being still with yourself and seeing what came up and getting in touch with your feelings and being willing to explore those feelings and, as you say, lean into those feelings. So that in and of itself was a leap for you. And then you made a leap as you put, you know, the pen to the paper and started writing these poems, which were very much inspired by how you were feeling and the challenges that you were facing and, you know, sometimes even the anger that was coming up. I know that's because I read your poems. Go ahead.
I do recall, I think there was a point at which maybe we were coaching at this point, this poem didn't make it into my book, but there's a poem called The Struggle. And part of this opportunity for me was really focusing on emotions that I would call negative.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to be a very positive person, so when negative emotions come, I tend to brush past them, and I didn't even have words for some of the emotions that I was feeling. And I think it had been months and months after, you know, even after I went back to work, and I was running one day, and I realized that there was lots of struggle still inside, that I really hadn't processed everything. And I came home, and it was just so cathartic to write about the struggle. And I actually have a poem here called The Struggle that maybe it'll give you a sense of this part of me that was so challenging to face. I just wasn't comfortable with these kinds of words and this kind of emotion. But if you don't mind, Christine, I'd like to share this poem with you to give you a sense of what that dark side was like that I was able to move through.
Yes, please do.
The struggle. Feeling the walls surrounded in darkness, in the cocoon no light, only tiny fragments of hope linger in the air, like smoke from a smoldering fire, into the unknown, tension thick like mud, unsure what's in here, even more uncertain what's out there, fear filling the air, wanting desperately out, struggling against the edges, the barriers holding things in, spinning circles, dizziness pushing round, falling to get up, only to sit still in the gray silence.
How does that poem make you feel now when you read it?
Relieved. Relieved and grateful that I could get that out, get that onto a piece of paper and outside of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that I've reached a point where I can share that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm kind of surprised. I got a little bit choked up when I reached the end of that, and I don't know where that came from, but another thing that I learned through this journey is just to listen to my heart. So I don't know where that's coming from, and I'll leave this interview curious about, you know, where that came from and what my heart is trying to tell me right now.
Well, you titled your book of poetry, Mostly My Heart Sings.
Mm.
Tell us a little bit more about how all these poems that you wrote became this collection of poetry.
Yeah, and maybe the juxtaposition of that poem, The Struggle, against the title of the book, that mostly my heart is singing. So even during this cancer experience, I very much leaned toward finding the light, finding the grace,
mm-hmm.
finding the opportunity and possibility. And there were those struggles, those moments of darkness in there. And the catharsis happened from the very beginning. So from the point I was diagnosed needing to cope in some way and writing about that, and I just kept writing and they kept flowing. My parents were here and it was like, hey, I've got something I want to share at dinner. And it was night after night I had this. And as I laid it all out after several months, it was like it told the story of the diagnosis and the struggle there, the point in the middle where there's kind of an acceptance and some dark spots in there, and, you know, kind of a crescendo into the tough moments, and then the coping and kind of the release toward the end. So it told the story. In a way, it told a story, and as I looked at the whole of what I had created, I could see mostly light and mostly my heart showing itself, and that's how the title of the book evolved. In that, you know, it was mostly light, it was mostly the heart singing.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, and I just feel like that sort of unwritten subtitle is, and sometimes my heart cries, because that's part of the experience too, right? And that's what I think you're getting at in the struggle, you know, and why it probably still gets you a bit choked up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you may recall, Christina, from our coaching sessions together, that we went to some of those dark places together, and I can remember one of the sessions, and it still comes to me, and I'm still figuring out what it means and how to get out of this pond with the mucky mud on the bottom of it. But part of that experience was very powerful for me in that I embraced help along the journey, and I think asking for help is, for some, for me, a very hard thing to do. And I came away from our coaching session very clear that asking for help was a key to really, really owning who I am. And I still have my friends that I claimed when I was in that pond and needing help. You may recall that I have a friend named Grace who brings calm and confidence to me, and I have a friend, Joy. When I found her at that retreat many years ago, she brings light and gratitude with me wherever I go, and I still hold those two friends very dearly inside of me. And I've actually got a couple of new friends too, so I constantly hold hope in my heart. She leads me toward these possibilities, and she helps me dream and make the leaps toward the dreams. And I have faith that I hold in my gut, and she's the one that really gives me the courage to let go of my fears and gives me the strength to believe in things that I can't really see that I know might be possible.
Well, those sound like wonderful friends to have. Sounds like every woman could use those four friends beside her, within her.
Yeah.
So where are you leaping into?
Who would guess I'd be here to share with you that I have some imaginary friends that help me in my days?
That's okay. I do too. So where are you and your friends leaping towards next?
Oh, well, I feel like there are a few more somersaults to do in a leap that I made relatively recently. When I took this leadership development job, it took a lot of courage, but in taking that job, I decided with this next job, if I'm going to take a new job, I want a job that wants me, that wants the essence of who I am. And so when I was interviewing for the job, I just decided I'm going to be incredibly authentic here, and they either want me or they don't want me. And I can remember being most of the way through the interview and feeling compelled to share something and reminding myself, they either want me or they don't want me. Go ahead and say it, Vic. And, you know, working in IBM, our mantra is around thinking, and we're very focused on systematic ways of doing things and using one side of the brain and not so much the other. And I can remember really feeling like this new manager needed to understand that if she was going to hire me, she was going to get me bringing my mind to work, and she was going to get me bringing my heart to work. And I can remember how my heart was racing as I was declaring it with this manager, but that was an important moment of courage for me. And I continue to remember that it is about my heart singing that I'm here. And so I'm bringing that singing heart to work, and I have some great opportunities in my work now to do that, and feel like I'm about to soar in this leadership development space. There's some things opening up, and I'm just really excited about, you know, about the future and doing some somersaults here now that I've declared that you know, my heart is here at work.
Yeah. And I know with your poetry, you published Mostly My Heart Sings, and you got quite a bit of publicity, you know, from doing that. So where are you headed with your poetry?
You know, it's interesting you should ask. I have been thinking I've written probably more poetry since I wrote the book than are in the book. So I'm starting to think about whether or not there might be another collection of poetry that I want to pull together. And continue to write. I also journal and am curious about some of the wisdom that's hidden in my last 10 years of journals that, you know, golden nuggets that if I were to resurrect them, how they might guide me or guide others. So I'm opening to the possibility of publishing more. I'm just not sure what it'll look like yet.
Exciting. Can't wait to see. Well, we're coming to the end of our interview, so I'd just like to give you the opportunity to leave the women who are listening to your interview or reading your interview summary some words of wisdom. Would you like to share with us like a favorite mantra or slogan or another bit of poetry with us?
Yeah. So I think, you know, the importance of listening to our hearts. So my tip would be, you know, listen to your heart and be intentional about how you want to move forward in the world. And listen to your truth. Let your truth guide you. And so I do actually have another poem that kind of speaks to that. It's a short one and a little more light in this one than the last one. It's called Truth's Whisper. My truth speaks quietly. It whispers so that sometimes it's hard to hear. In quiet moments of stillness, I feel its breath upon me. Its voice is clear. Be who you are completely. Your light is forgiving.
Thank you for that, Vicki. Thank you for the interview and for sharing a couple of poems with us. It was really wonderful to hear your story. I appreciate you being here today.
I appreciate the opportunity to share, Christina. Thank you for the interview.
Thank you.